Assembly meeting's called to order. I'd like to recognize we're conducting business on traditional land of the Tlingit people. Please stand and join me in saluting the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice in all.
Roll call.
Bass. Here. Burnham.
Here.
Henry.
Here.
Waddell.
Present.
Hansen.
Present.
Potter.
Here.
Mayor Cremata.
Here.
All members present. Quorum is established.
Approval of minutes.
I move for the approval of minutes for the June 1st, 2023 meeting.
Second.
Motion by Potter. Second by Hansen to approve the June 1st minutes. Discussion. Roll call.
Hansen.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Approval of agenda.
Move for the approval of the agenda.
Second.
Motion by Hansen, second by Potter to approve the agenda. Discussion. Roll call.
Burnham.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Reports of officials and committees. Item A, mayor's report. It's in the packet. Assembly committee reports. Finance.
Thank you, Your Honor. There's a check run dated July 6th in the amount of $4,010,129.01. I move we approve the check run, excluding check number 130453, so I can get some further information on it.
Second.
Motion by Burnham, second by Henry to approve the check run with the exception of one check. Discussion? Roll call.
Waddell.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
The Finance Committee met yesterday, July 5th at 5 p.m. Under new business was review of Ordinance 23-17, amending the FY23 budget to account for a school budget adjustment, a West Creek levy design, and an additional police officer. After discussion, Finance recommends Assembly approval. Finance reviewed FY24 designated legislative grant for rock slide mitigation. After discussion, Finance recommends Assembly direct staff to provide the grant administrator with a scope of work for this project and a completed signatory authority form. And that is all.
Thank you, Jay. Health, education, welfare.
Nothing at this time, Your Honor.
Civic affairs.
Nothing at this time, Your Honor.
Public works.
The only thing I have to report is that Public Works did review and recommend the franchise agreement with AP&T, item 7A, and did review 7D, the West Creek levy design, and recommended that to the Assembly as well.
Thank you. Public safety.
Nothing at this time, Your Honor.
Parks and Rec.
I have a Parks and Rec meeting scheduled for Tuesday, July 18th at 6 p.m. On the agenda are going to be some important things that would always welcome public input, including a discussion of new outhouse facilities at Naku Bay, discussion of the A-frame, Bud Matthews cabin, and discussion of a second cabin in the Lost Lake area. And once again, that's July 18th at 6 p.m.
Thank you. Item C, treasurer's report. Do you have one? Item D, manager's report.
I just have a couple things, and then I can turn it over to Manager Ryan. Assemblymember Hansen had asked about our municipal grants and where we were at with them, specifically the RAISE grant. We were not awarded the RAISE grant. We had applied for the Marine Highway Facilities Relocation Project, so we did not get that, but we do have over $11 million in awarded funding that we're moving forward with. And there's a couple of decisions that will be coming up in the fall. One is the BRIC grant for rock slide mitigation. We asked for $28 million for that. And also the Port Infrastructure Development Program for the Industrial Cargo Transfer Bridge. So we're moving forward on those, and I sent this by email through the clerk for you. So if you have any questions, let me know. And then also the Marine Highway Ad Hoc Committee reviewed this letter of support template for the state's grant application for rural ferry service. And it doesn't obligate us to anything, but the deadline for getting the letters back to them fell sort of right between meetings. So if you are okay with it, if you could give a no objection or something like that, we can move forward with it. And that's all for me.
Is there any objection to moving forward with that letter from anyone at the table? Approved. Manager Ryan, did you have anything?
Yeah. You can all hear me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming loud. Okay. Wanted to give everybody a heads up. I'm down here. We spent the last, 11, maybe 9 hours discussing how to scope the Ore Peninsula project down within our budget. We haven't quite gotten there yet, but continue to work on it. And hopefully I'll be back up in Skagway tomorrow and keep you all posted.
Thank you, Manager Ryan. Clinic Board Report, Executive Director Search Update. Lisa, is that you? Will you state your name and position on the clinic board for the record, please?
Lisa Mandeville, Vice President of the Dahl Memorial Clinic. I'm here. Mayor Kamada asked Jeremy Simmons, our president, to give a report on the executive director search, and he had to work tonight, so I'm here in his stead. Right. On January 9th, 2023, the clinic board held a special meeting where the board motioned to recommend to the city manager that he and municipal staff assist in hiring of clinic executive director. The board chose this over an option to hire Coors to conduct an executive director search and to not continue with how the search had been conducted with myself, a board member, and clinic staff overseeing the search. So no new executive director search MOS applications were received by the clinic board executive director hiring committee before the May 24th, 2023 regular clinic board meeting. At the clinic board meeting, May 24th, the board decided to schedule a special meeting to discuss executive director search options. At this special meeting on June 6th, the board approved directing the executive committee to negotiate with Thomas Steiner for the executive director position and with Coors for the buyout of their current contract, and that is the interim management services contract. President Jeremy Simmons scheduled a clinic executive committee meeting with an executive session for June 13th so that the executive committee could negotiate with Mr. Steiner terms to be placed in a draft contract. President Simmons was informed the attorney would need to provide language for the title of the executive session. This meeting was subsequently canceled due to no executive session title language received from the attorney. On June 27th, President Simmons was informed by the attorney that Mr. Steiner would need to follow the ongoing hiring process for executive director. Mr. Steiner's MOS executive director application was received by the hiring committee yesterday, July 5th, from Manager Ryan. Since June 6th, a total of 4 MOS clinic executive director applications have been received by the ED hiring committee, including Mr. Steiner's application. The hiring committee reviewed the first three applications and plans to continue with next steps for one of those applicants. Official review of Mr. Steiner's application by the hiring committee will be completed soon.
Anybody at the table have any questions? Dan?
Yes, you said that one of the applicants is going to move through the process further. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the others are not going to move forward. Why?
That the hiring committee, which consists of Manager Ryan, Alex Waddell, myself, and Jeremy Simmons, voted not to continue with. There were two of the hiring committee that, I'm sorry. We didn't have enough votes to go ahead with the other applicants.
Hey, could you explain that?
So we're going with a simple majority. The applicants' applications are sent to the hiring committee. We review those, and Jeremy, as chair, asked us, do you want to go to next steps? One of those applicants, we had four votes to go with that applicant. That's the one we're going to continue with. Another one had two, and then another one had none. So
one had two and two, and not a tiebreaker vote possible. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So it stayed in limbo.
Sorry, stated in
limbo. Void.
We want the quorum. We want the majority of the hiring committee to decide to go forward with an applicant. So we'd need three votes.
Right. Again, if we have an odd number of votes, then we're going to get a clear no or a clear yes, but there's only four, correct?
There's only four of us on the hiring committee, correct.
Okay, and only one applicant received 3-1?
One applicant received 4.
4-0. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that there was no title language from the attorney. That's not exactly accurate. Just to clarify, the attorney couldn't supply language because there was not a reason to have an executive session, correct?
He didn't see a reason to have an executive session.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So it kind of made it sound like in your comments that there wasn't title language from the attorney, that he was somehow derelict, but that's not accurate.
There was, we didn't receive language, so the meeting was canceled.
So to clarify, there has to be four reasons, as you all know, hopefully, that we go into executive session. So in my communication with the attorney on this, there was an attempt to have an executive session by the clinic board so that they could discuss somehow working out an arrangement privately with Mr. Steiner for the executive director position, getting him out of the contract, which requires 28% additional to his contract to Coors. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the attorney had said that there's no reason to have that in a private meeting, kind of at a public meeting for sure.
Sure.
But none of those four criteria existed. So just so you guys are aware, so that wasn't very clear. All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Could I add the 28%? That's correct. Up to Coors is willing to cap it at 60,000.
Can you clarify that and explain that? I don't understand what you're saying.
So in the contract, you had mentioned the 28% of the first year salary. I believe there's also benefits included in that, maybe more. But Coors has agreed to cap that buyout cost at 60,000. So it might not be 28%, but
we have that in writing.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I'd like to see it. So okay. If you could get Jeremy to kick it over, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Communications to the assembly. Item A, correspondence.
Your Honor, no correspondence was received.
Thank you. You want to share?
Was there not correspondence from David Bruna?
Not to the assembly, to the finance committee.
I see.
Dear citizens present, remember if you're speaking this evening, state your name clearly for the record. If you're representing a group or organization, state the name of the group or organization and how you came to reach the conclusions being presented this evening. If you could keep your comments to 3 minutes or less, looks like a lot of people want to speak this evening. We'd appreciate it. Charity? Second row, Michael.
My name is Mike Legee. Hello, Skagway Assembly and Your Honor. First of all, my hat's off to you for making it to this meeting on this incredible afternoon. I would like to comment a bit on this R-2318 First Draft Amendment. I'm a bit confused as to its origin and, more importantly, its direction. Last borough meeting, the mayor gave a brief history of his conversation with the DAE Community Advisory Board chair about DAE boundaries and decided it would be best to have an attorney clear the matter up and in the process clean up the code a bit. I have a few concerns about this, but time may only allow me to talk about a couple of them. Number one, the attorney presented the legal description of municipality-owned lands. My issue is that DAE cannot be defined as a legal tract or parcel that is within the valley. One cannot simply shrink DAE down with some legal lines on paper. DAE is all that encompasses that valley, and anything that happens anywhere in the valley can have an effect on the community out there. DAE is the estuary, the river, the hillsides that lead to the mountains. It's the roads and bridges. It's the silent snow in winter and the bluebirds and swans in spring. It's the hooligan and the seals. It's the commercial tours. It's the national park and the flats and the campgrounds. It's the floods and the landslides and, God forbid, any fires. And it's the community, a community of dog walkers and birders, bikes and ATVs, hikers and skiers, mushroom hunters and firewood gatherers, and residences, community members that help each other out no matter what. They plow each other's roads and drives and keep track of the bears, look in on the sick and pick up supplies in town for each other. They pick up garbage from rogue campers and generally keep an eye out for any safety issues. And all this activity and presence affects the community out there, not just what is inside the survey lines of the municipality property. This is why the code is written with broad sweeping description. Quote, there is established a DAE Community Advisory Board to advise the Borough Assembly on issues and policies relating to public lands in the DAE and West Creek valleys. Not a parcel, but the whole of the valleys. Not just municipal lands, but all public lands. It's an advisory board, and it hands out pretty well thought out advice, but just advice. Having said that, if there is to be an agreed upon definition of DAE, there needs to be a discussion with the community, not a unilateral legal description that pretty much leaves out the community of DAE and the West Creek Valleys. My second concern is a more confusing one. Last week, it was stated that while we're at it, we're going to clean up the code a bit. And I thought, that's great. It could use it. It means like changing outdated gender pronouns or maybe rearranging syntax of a sentence to make more sense. But I discovered differently. There are some strikethroughs that clearly create some restrictions for DAE Community Advisory Board's voice. What's that about? And there are some additions that have nothing to do with cleaning up the code or defining DAE boundaries. For example, one addition found in four different places is rental of municipally owned recreational cabins as allowed by assembly. These additions would allow the city to place and operate rental cabins in any of these areas without restrictions and exempt from Title 19 and without any public input. Now, I would love to talk about recreational cabins. I helped build the Upper Lake Cabin and designed and built its outhouse. I've also helped work on the free cabin and last year led a group of volunteers to do a massive cleanup of the free cabin and replace the failing stovepipe. I would personally love to have a conversation about recreational cabins. But it is a tricky subject. It needs to be part of a public conversation. Also, it's a completely different subject from defining DAE and its boundaries, and not a little item, as we all know from the events of the past few years. This does not fall under the title of cleaning up the code. These two items are too far apart from each other to be dealt with in the same resolution at the same time. If you're going to continue to discuss these issues, then I say we separate them and kick them to appropriate committees or boards to discuss them with public input. The decisions and their consequences are too important to be glossed over. There seems to be an urgency to pass this resolution through from what I read today, but what is the hurry? There is no financial risk. This is a long document and can be confusing. These subjects need to be simplified and vetted through a committee or board and the public before it reaches assembly. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Anyone else on second row? Just go down the line.
Hello, Assembly members and Mayor Kamada. My name is Jessica Medlin, and I have lived in Naku Bay for over 20 years. I am coming to you now to address the recent revising of Ordinance Number 2318 regarding DAE land management and boundaries. This is a huge document, and there are so many things going on here and so many separate little issues, I barely know where to start. So I will start with the discussion of limiting the DAE Community Advisory Board to only the DAE Management Plan area. Some DAE residents already feel that the city never listens to them anyway. For example, the request for getting a public safety building, or that maybe you should get proper permitting before putting up a rental cabin. But having an advisory board helps with our illusions of the city taking our thoughts and concerns more seriously. The DAE Advisory Board has always advocated for the residents of Naku Bay, DAE, and West Creek. We are a community. As soon as you turn the corner onto the gravel road, you are outside of the city of Skagway. Skagway would not have been able to become a borough without DAE being a community. When looking at the new plans that outline the limits of the advisory board, it clearly leaves out many DAE residents. In my point of view, it appears that this document has excluded the residents of West Creek and Naku Bay from having an advisory board to talk to about issues that may come up. Now, let's remember that the advisory board is made up of mostly community members who live in and understand the details of living out the road. And these board advisors are available to other community members as representation. Without a board for our community members to bring their concerns to, it seems like you are purposefully silencing people. At the same time, you are trying to limit what the advisory board can advise on. For example, striking out land disposal discussions, 315.01. Why would you strike that out? As an advisory board for residents, residents are going to have thoughts and opinions on those issues. These amendments and limiting the advisory board only helps to reinforce the thought that the city really does not want to hear what the DAE community has to say. Like a lot of people, I have anxiety around public speaking, and standing up here, sitting here in front of you all is extremely difficult. The prospect of not having a community advisory board for where I live and having to go to unrelated boards like civic affairs or finance, as was suggested, for my concerns is not only uncomfortable, it is frustrating and unnecessary. We currently have the DAE Community Advisory Board that advocates for DAE, Naku Bay, and West Creek areas, and I hope it can continue to do so. As a Naku Bay resident, I have always been grateful for the chance to bring issues to the DAE Community Advisory Board. If the chance of having the DAE Community Advisory Board is eliminated for West Creek and Naku Bay residents, then a few solutions are as follows. As you are trying to separate our community into three parts, we will need a Naku Bay advisory board for those who live in the designated area and a separate advisory board for West Creek residents. It was stated at the June 15th Skagway Assembly meeting, perhaps Civic Affairs, Finance, Health, and Welfare could find the time to dive into issues involving Naku Bay and West Creek and leave the DAE Advisory Board focused on the DAE Valley. Why take the time of those boards with issues that do not involve their area of expertise? We have an existing board that has been dealing specifically with our community for many years. These code changes seem like a bit of a mess still, and I urge the assembly not to approve it yet, as it still needs work. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
Next.
My name is Mina Yi, but you probably already knew that. Hello, Assembly members and Mayor of the Skagway Borough Assembly. Thank you for letting me speak and hearing my concerns. My name is Mina, and I just told you that. I am here to briefly discuss the recent proposal to have the DAE Advisory Board only advise on issues regarding DAE. This proposal has very clearly left out some residents living in the DAE area, not to mention West Creek and Naku Bay. I've lived in the Naku Bay area for my whole life, and as a future generation of Skagway residents, it feels to me that taking away the DAE Advisory Board from Naku and West Creek residents is equal to taking away our representation. I enjoyed having a board that understood what it was like to live out of town and being able and knowing that my voice will be heard. Going to boards like Civic Affairs and Finance, like was suggested, just seems like a waste of time. I have no idea if my voice and my concerns will be taken into consideration. If the matter of getting the DAE Advisory Board to extend their area of oversight is off the table, then perhaps having representation of Naku Bay in the Skagway government could be a solution. Maybe even having a Naku Bay Advisory Board? But then again, who's to take the word of a little village girl? Again, I thank you for your time, and we need a pool.
Thank you. Next. Jen, back.
Hello all, good evening. Jennifer Thuss, proud citizen of Skagway. I'm sure many others have commented on this, but I wanted to take just a moment to say the new podcast format for committee and especially assembly meetings is just outstanding. It seems clear there was a lot of work put into this, and I'm sure a lot of work will be required to maintain it. And all I can say is thank you. There was an item on tonight's agenda I wanted to know more about, and the new format made the relevant discussion in past meetings very easy to find. It seems like a real difference maker to help us, the citizenry, stay engaged. Thank you to the clerks and administration. As always, thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Jen. Lisa? Lisa?
No.
Courtney?
I'm Courtney Ellingson, and I'm a resident of DAE. I want to thank you all for your service. I know it's a lot of work, and after spending 2 days of looking through Ordinance 2318 and still not fully understanding, I just appreciate the work that you all do. And I also wanted to, on a different note, thank you for the West Creek Levy design proposal or the work that's going to be done there, because that's something we've been working towards on that board as well. And as a resident out there, I appreciate that too. So I do greatly appreciate the effort to try to define the purview of the DAE Community Advisory Board. I don't know that I've ever fully known, and I've been on it for more than 10 years. So I do appreciate the effort to try to define the boundaries so we can advise more efficiently. However, as a board member, I don't know, and again, I don't know if I'm understanding everything correctly, but it seems to me that I won't be even allowed to be on that board anymore based on the maps that I looked at. So I do have concern about that and how that will look going forward. And I also am wondering how or if this may impact the West Creek subdivision progress and how that's been a work in progress for a while as well. So those are a couple of my concerns. And so I guess at the very least, I'd like to respectfully request that Ordinance 2318 come to the DAE Community Advisory Board. The timing is great. We just spent last winter reviewing the DAE Flats Management Plan per our agreement with the state of Alaska. And it just seems, it seems that this, or at least sections of it, are within our areas to advise on. And I would really appreciate being a part of that process. It seems like a lot of change in code, and I'm still trying to digest and understand it. And I have time right now because it's summer. So that was a good thing today and yesterday. But I would like to see it come to our board so that we can review it as a board and publicly discuss and have it be more of a public process that way. So thank you all for everything you do.
Thank you, Courtney. Bruce?
Bruce Weber. For 37 years, I've looked out my window with a cup of coffee and watched the DAE Flats every morning. So I have an emotional as well as an economic and all kinds of ties to DAE. And I'd like to divide my comments on the resolution into three areas: the process that brought about the resolution, the results of that process, and finally, and probably more importantly, why. Why did we go through all of this? As Courtney mentioned, we've been working on code for the DAE Flats for about a year. And if we had been consulted, we could have helped avoid some of the problems with this resolution. For example, it goes forward assuming there are still two commercial operators in DAE. And there's not two commercial operators. There's only one commercial operator. We could have alerted, if we would have been contacted, we could have let people know that. The code continues the kind of, in my mind, silly requirement that Public Works collect the money from the campground every week. Now, I think Public Works should probably collect that money, but that it's in code rather than in some design of how the campground functions, I think is a little, it just doesn't make sense. And so those are things that I've been rewriting code to try to come up with something to balance code, municipal code, with the code in the DAE Flats Management Plan, because there are two separate codes. Codes have changed, you know, they've been amended and they were never synced. So we've been trying to do that to get every place where there is the DAE Flats Management Code to have it meet all of the other ones. So that's the process. I think we should have been included, and we should be included going forward. Now, the result, if you read the resolution, it says it restricts the DAE Community Advisory Board to municipally owned lands, in Tract A, and I forget the exact, nomenclature, but if you're only dealing with municipally owned lands, that means no private lands are included. And as a result, no one who lives on private land is a resident of DAE. The DAE plan is restricted to municipally owned lands and specifically excludes private lands. And so we have no one who lives in DAE unless we change that definition going forward. Not only that, but just the parcel, the municipally owned parcel, doesn't deal with John McDermott, Skip Elliott. All of those parcels are excluded. And those people and Alex wouldn't qualify as residents of Dyea. So pretty much it'll wipe out the Dyea Community Advisory Board, which I'm sure for some of you is a good thing. But I think that eliminating the land disposal part of our functions was wrong. I think eliminating sections of municipal land along the West Creek Road, probably the most desirable pieces of property going forward, where homes might be built, and those are municipal lands. And so this document eliminates even municipal lands from the Dyea Community Advisory Board participating. Eliminating Title 19 requirements is, for the example I was just talking about, if we go forward, I know there's a lot of people who would like to see a land sale in West Creek. And if we went forward, we wouldn't have any Title 19 restrictions on a land sale. That's wrong. That's what the Title 19 is there for, is to produce and regulate those necessary parts of zoning. So, I mean, to me, the mayor and I talked about Naku Bay. And in the last couple of years, the only things that we've advised about Naku Bay was that the roof of the A-frame be fixed, and that it'd be made a little easier for people to get out to the water through the kind of picnic area in Naku Bay. And both of those things happen. I don't know if they happen because we advise them, but they happen. And so what's the problem? I guess this is the why section. We're advising, we're looking at Naku Bay, and we advise some things that came to fruition, and that seems like a good thing. So why reduce the powers of the Dyea Community Advisory Board to advise? It just doesn't make sense. You've shrunk powers and you've shrunk the geographic area to a point where it's unrecognizable. And to me, if you do decide that Naku Bay shouldn't be represented by the Naku Board, we could have just drawn a line from to the west of the cabin rather than this description of the property that we have before us, and draw that line using longitude and latitude to cut off the Naku Bay property. I don't know why we couldn't have done that. So anyway, those are my thoughts, and thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Kara?
Kara Cosgrove. So my purpose in being here is to be concise about it, to hope that you decide to kick this to the committee, work together with the Dyea Community Advisory Board on a redevelopment of the document that you have in front of you. And had that happened in the first place, if it would have just started there, I think as my leaders, as the governance of the community I live in, I would like to see you lead in that way. Use your committees, go to your committees, start there, bring them in, let them feel valued and a part of the process. I see a shift in our leadership, and I hope that you aren't all followers in that you can see this is a great example. I think the clinic situation was another example. When our government starts
removing leaders like Corey Thole and Linda Calver, and that there was no other way to come to the table together and work through that. This is not Skagway. That's not the Skagway I know. So I hope that this issue can be something fresh at the table. I wish it had come about differently, and I think not being followers is important in this here and now. The community of Dyea is just that. It's the people. And you have before you this group. I'm not going to go into the details of all the things that is wrong with that document. You guys are intelligent and can read that. And you have an advisory committee to support you in that. They are smart. They are caring, incredibly involved. And as my leaders, as the governance of this community, you're in the role with the responsibility to make that first step, to make it work. They have to show up for their meetings and do their part, yes. But when it's not working, when things do break down, if that's how you think that it is, if you don't trust them, it's up to you, each of you individually, to bring the togetherness. And it just, where we're headed, it seems, from my perspective, with Skagway right now, is we don't have to go down that road. You can lead us differently. So distrust seems out there. I become distrustful when I look at a document like this and I think about land sales up the West Creek Valley, for one example, and you think about what are the potential ulterior motives. I hate to think that way. You want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I know what you guys have on your table, holy cow, incredible. And you're moving through these immense changes that Skagway is presenting. Thank you. But this can be a together moment, and we can step back in time and solve these issues for Dyea with the resources that are well established. So understanding where that document came from, I don't know if it was, a collaborative thing on the assembly's part, an individual thing, but it should have involved the full committee in a very detailed way before it came to this first reading, a chance to go through first reading and really not have that the input that it deserved. It's an important topic, like Courtney said, defining the purview of that committee, very important. Yes, we don't want to waste our time on things that that they shouldn't be wasting time on, but this doesn't even come close. So please kick it to the curb and come back with a group effort.
Thank you. Cody, Chief, did we miss anybody at all? All right, thank you, everybody. Ordinances, resolutions, and proclamations. Item A, public hearing, second reading, and adoption of ordinance number 23-15, granting a non-exclusive franchise permit to Alaska Power and Telephone.
Second.
Motion by Henry, second by Potter, to adopt ordinance number 23-15. Would anybody gathered here in the public like to speak to the issue of granting a non-exclusive franchise permit to AP&T? Discussion. No discussion. Roll call.
Henry.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item B, public hearing, second reading, and adoption of ordinance number 23-16, requiring bulk ore shipment to be containerized.
Move to second reading. 3-16.
Second. Second.
Motion by Henry, second by Hansen, to adopt ordinance number 23-16. Would anybody from the public like to speak to the important issue of requiring ore to be containerized? Discussion. Deb?
My intention with the adopted amendment in this ordinance was that Skagway becomes a leader in green port, and that reminded me on May 19th of 2022, we all voted to join a part of the first mover commitment, a project that, so we agreed to work together to explore the feasibility of a green corridor in the Pacific Northwest. Also signed, agreed to this agreement that says, while initially focused on cruise ships and cruise ports in the Pacific Northwest, or other industries are encouraged to join. So my intention behind the amendment that got passed last assembly meeting was no less than carrying on this commitment to being a green corridor, not just in cruise travel, but in all industries as well. It's obviously been a very busy 3 weeks, and this is something that's very important. This is our legacy. This is how we say moving forward, how bulk minerals are going to be moved through the Port of Skagway. And none of us wants another legacy contamination on our hands. We need to, I don't know if anything is ever going to be done perfect, but this is not even close to perfect right now. It's on the right path. So I would move to, I know Mayor Cremata, you have mentioned in your mayor's report that you would move to either, you have a plan for next meeting. So in this moment, I would make a motion to postpone indefinitely.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Hansen to postpone ordinance number 23-16 indefinitely. Discussion? Roll call.
Burnham.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item C, introduction and first reading of ordinance number 23-11, amending code to add a secretary to the Skagway Visitor Advisory Board.
Move for first reading of ordinance 23-11.
Second.
Motion by Henry, second by Waddell for first reading of ordinance number 23-11. Discussion. Alex?
I would only add that this went through Civic Affairs. We made a couple modifications that are up at the table, and I'm supportive of it in its current state.
Any further Clerk Burnham?
Sorry. Just to note that you already had the main motion on the table from the last time.
Yeah. Never mind then. Is that okay? Can I just say never mind?
Yes.
Amazing. Love the Robert's Rules of Order. Mr. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Point of clarification, does this draft we have in front of us include the changes from Civic Affairs?
Clerk Burnham.
Assembly committees can't amend documents that are already of the assembly. So this document you have in front of you does not have amendments made to it from committee.
Go ahead.
So we don't have a draft or any of the recommended changes from Civic Affairs?
That's a question for this.
That's a question of what I'm looking at here is does not reflect what Civic Affairs.
Alex, did Civic Affairs submit anything that has the changes in it?
Civic Affairs recommended that we take out some of the language about where the meetings were held, which I did not see in this current draft.
My suggestion would be, for the sake of time here, to you know, pass the first reading and then have something presented to the clerk so that the rest of the governing body can review the changes ahead of the meeting, and then they can make a blanket amendment if that's what the assembly chooses to do.
Dan?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Again, there won't be any changes here in front of us. There will be recommendations that will come out of the committee, and if the assembly as a whole agrees with the recommendations, then that would be
right. That's what we need to see.
Something we look at now.
Yeah. So if that could happen before second reading, that would be best way to do it. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Henry.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item D, introduction and first reading of ordinance number 23-17, amending the fiscal year 23 budget to account for a school budget adjustment, West Creek levy design, and an additional police officer.
Move for first reading of ordinance 23-17.
Second.
Motion by Henry, second by Hanson for first reading of ordinance number 23-17. Discussion. Jay.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is pretty straightforward. It's just exactly what you said. It takes into account the adjustment for the school budget that we don't know until later on in the year. The West Creek levy design, we discussed that and that we wanted to go forward with it. And of course, the need for an additional police officer. The numbers are down there. Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. It's a pretty easy one.
Mr. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Your Honor. If I could ask one question that came up at finance last night, and I don't know if the manager or maybe the deputy manager has an answer, but with the police officer, it says 6 months, and it was our impression that this was a permanent year-round position.
This will get us through this fiscal year. And then when the next budget cycle goes, we will budget for the full-time for the whole year. But we don't need more than this in this fiscal year right now. But it is a permanent position.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Bass.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item E, introduction, first reading of ordinance number 23-18, amending SMC chapters 3.15, 16.08, 16.10, 16.12, and 16.14 to define land management area boundaries and clarify the applicability of these chapters.
Move for first reading of 23-18.
Second.
Motion by Henry. Second by Potter to first reading of ordinance number 23-18. Dan, when you're done, I'd like to give some history. But you have the floor. You made the motion.
I just certainly from listening to the comments, and I must confess, I'm a little behind on my understanding of everything in this as well.
Would you like clarity?
Pardon?
Would you like some clarity?
Well, I just really my overall take was simply this. As I was reading through it and the changes and then listening to comments, I thought to myself, the DAE advisory board to me would be the appropriate body to weigh in on this, massage it, do, you know, make suggestions, changes, and so forth. These are the folks that live out there. Provided that they are not impacting the city budget in any extravagant manner, Now, it was mentioned, I think it was Jessica mentioned talking, you know, whether there was some sort of building or apparatus set up somewhere out in Dyea to respond to fire or emergencies of different types. Certainly, it, just as an idea, that's great. Money will take care of almost anything. So we could do that. We could build a fire hall out there and put seven engines out there. Whatever, you know, it, we can afford is what you do. So provided that the suggestions or recommendations, as with all commissions and boards, they're not action committees. They immerse themselves in the subject and then come to us with the best, you know, recommendations that they feel are appropriate. And I certainly don't. I have opinions, but I'm not qualified to give the best take on what should be going out there. The point was also made just from a knowledge base. Doc brought up that I think it was or Michael did. There was two operators out there. It used to be Robert Murphy and Sakai Cycle. Now Sakai Cycle only runs down the mountain. They don't run out in Dyea. So those are just things. They're not big. They're just things to be aware of and to be cognizant of. So, I probably feel that this should be kicked back to them. And like I say, barring anything that is going to, impact the budget in any dramatic fashion as a recommendation, you know, other than that, I would think that that's where I want to get the recommendation from. Certainly the people that are on the committee have served on it and are on it now. I know all of them, and I would love to have them on a lot of other committees. There's a lot of talent there. So I certainly would defer to their opinion.
So history, it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I don't think you were on the assembly at that time, Dan, but the Dyea Advisory Board came to the assembly asking that we clearly delineate what the lines are that are Dyea. And it kind of fell through to the wayside. I don't think there was anybody who really thought that we needed to do that, including me, because we kind of know where Dyea is, right? So in a conversation I had with the chair recently, it was brought up again. Well, the assembly didn't delineate why. And the impetus for that conversation was because there was a lot of commentary coming from the Dyea Advisory Board about Naku Bay, which is fine. But if money is going to be spent and they're going to act as an advisory board, that's not in code. So they're advise on West Creek, advise on Dyea, but Naku Bay is under its own management plan and they're not listed as an advisory board there. It's like I explained to the chair, you can certainly advise on it. There's nothing wrong with that. But there was that request again. Well, if we had a line around Dyea to delineate where it was, then, you know, we would know. So I did what I do, which isn't basing, you know, what I do on a motion. I went to the borough attorney and asked him to look up historically what would define Dyea. And he did that. Mm-hmm. And this is the result of that. This is 99% of the work of the borough attorney with assistance from the deputy manager. And I hand it off to them because I don't let my emotions tell me where Dyea is, even though I think I know where Dyea is. So I'm not done. So you also remember we've been in a very long, time-consuming and expensive lawsuit, very much related to Title 19. So I certainly don't have to go into detail and cannot go into detail on that. But some of these code changes are directly related to that. So my advice would be certainly kick it over to Dyea Advisory Board, every committee in the borough, if that's your intent. But talk to the borough attorney, or we could have him at a work session, and also make sure that we're making code changes that prevent lawsuits in the future that cost taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that, to me, was the primary goal. So these are the reasons why the code changes were made. The attorney was very clear that in what year was it, 1969 or 79? I don't remember the year. But it was many years ago when the definition of Dyea came forward. That was Tract A. It's very clearly on a map. He says that cannot legally be changed. So that is what Dyea is. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. That's what it is. So we can kick these things around. and take them to boards and committees all we want, but some things we simply can't change and some things we need to change. So again, I have zero problem with this going to any board or committee. Appreciate the work the Diet Advisory Board does. But again, I'm going to remind you, those of you who have been here over the past 4 years, as we've dealt with numerous executive sessions and issues involving lawsuits, some of this is absolutely necessary. Dan?
Yeah, and I'm not taking issue with anything that you said, but if I understand it right, the only thing I would be looking for further at this point is that, unless the impetus for this was to get reaction, which is fine, I suppose. As I understand it, I would have liked this to have been with the DAE Advisory Board before this draft came up.
Well, it's
Am
here.
Am I understanding that wrong, or do I have my thing
I would
backwards?
Like a lot of things in life that don't happen, but this is how it came about. So it can go to
I'm
them.
I'm just saying that that would be my preference. That would have been my preference prior to seeing this.
Fair enough. Orion?
Thank you, Your Honor. This, as Dan and other people have pointed out, did not go to the DAE board, didn't go to PNZ, didn't go to Civic Affairs. It just came straight here. This map is very confusing. If I read this correctly, my property would be considered part of the DAE flats, and my neighbor across the street, Mr. Weber and Ms. Cosgrove, would not be part of the DAE flats, and we are across the street from each other, as well as my neighbor to the north, Mr. Brian Taylor, would not be part of the DAE flats. That I don't understand that whatsoever. I've served on PNZ in various capacities since 2014. One thing you never want to do in a management, and we try not to, we've made mistakes, but having conflicting uses in the same area, having one set of rules for adjacent properties is a mess. And this would create a mess. And if I think if you project further and you talk about what makes a geographical boundary, whether you're talking about voting districts, management districts, whatever, it has to be concise and geographically connected. Now, I understand there's the Park Service in the middle of all this, and that confounds things greatly. But for us to create different management rules within the same area is pretty illogical to me of someone who served on PNZ for a lot of hours, a lot of time, and a lot of years. Furthermore, last meeting, we voted, I believe, unanimously to send the DAE, the West Creek subdivision that has been platted. It's been vetted through many boards, planning and zoning, the DAE board, Public Works. We voted to send that to PNZ. This would exclude that, regardless of what it says in the West Creek management plan, that the West Creek management plan starts at the bridge. These maps are built based on time of when things were recorded with DNR. That's not how you create a management plan. That might be a legal record, but that's definitely not how you draw a map of how you want to manage things. So I'm hearing the comments from the DAE board. I also have frustration that this came here in this version, not being a draft, going through the proper process of going to committees. That is the process that we promote, we try to follow and get community feedback and input so we deliberate carefully and we don't do things hastily. This seems hasty. I will not vote for it.
So what I'm hearing is it's a bad idea to draw lines around IE. Alex?
Would you like to expand on your intent in removing Title IX or Title 19, like why we would want to take planning and zoning?
I think that's a conversation to have with the attorney because it's going to get in depth into some other issues that we shouldn't talk about at the table.
I see. Brings a lot of concerns to me. Would you like to talk about whether or not it was your intent to exclude the subdivision using this language?
My intent was to go to the attorney because I was requested that we have a clear line drawn around DAE. So this is from the attorney again. So my intent would have rather had not done this at all, to be honest with you. So it's here so that you guys can say, well, this was a waste of time.
So,
and you're doing a good job of it.
So do we agree that no one likes this at the table, including you?
I don't like this at all, but there are things about it we do need to address, especially related to Title 19. So I think drawing lines around DAI is a really bad idea, because as it is now, DAI advisory board can kind of give any kind of input they want on these issues.
I have a lot of concerns about this document for lots of reasons, but one of my biggest ones is that considering that the last meeting at the table was considering the Sa'aks-Tiini subdivision, and the table chose to advance this planning and zoning by possibly a unanimous vote. So I find the language in this ordinance to be somewhat arbitrary and capricious, considering that it's in such direct conflict with the will of the table as of the most recent meeting.
I think that's an issue you should take up with the attorney.
I'd rather not take it up with the attorney and just have a draft that didn't have so many issues that needed attorneys addressing.
Great.
That's where I stand on.
Jay?
I like it. I really do. I think it's great for Title 19 and for defining what DAI is. I think we should draw a line around what DAI is, but I don't think that we should draw a line on what the DAI advisory board advises on. If I was going to draw the line, I would say that DAI advisory board should advise on sheet 5, sheet 2, sheet 4, sheet 3, sheet all the way up. It's just a bunch of sheets. I don't see a problem with the DAI advisory board advising on anything. If they don't like the speed bumps out there, if they don't like anything that they want to. And as far as defining DAI, I've always defined DAI as starting at the end of the pavement going out. I'm sure Alex has a different definition. Dan has a different definition. I think real DAI is the flats going out there and having fun where the picnic area is. I totally am for having legal definitions and Title 19, or having Title 19 possibly describe where it is implemented, or like you said, having the DAI management plan or the DAI area not being governed by Title 19 in a specific spot, or clarifying how it works. I'm all for the legal stuff, but I'm also for having people have a voice and be able to say what they want to say. And I'm especially for a pool.
Sam?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I read through this, I did think there was some value to the effort. And I think there does need to be clear definitions of areas and authorities. I think that's important. But as I read through this, I continue to think about the rule of unintended consequences. And as I've listened to people speak here, I listened to the Vice Mayor, listened to Dan. I think there are a lot of unintended consequences that may come from this language, that may come from the map, the way it's drawn. You know, if we have one neighbor who has different rules than the next neighbor, those are issues. Those are unintended consequences that may come from this. And I think that we need to take the time, go back, make sure we understand all of those issues, and then come back and try to really clarify these definitions in these areas. So I think we have time. I think this should go to DAI Management Board. I think they should take a look at this. They should advise on this, and then we can move forward. But in the current state of this, I'll vote no on it. Thank you.
Deb?
Thank you, Your Honor. I've got a couple things. First, I was wondering if Deputy Manager Deitch could maybe give a little background on these plat survey maps and where they came from.
Sure. So they came from, you know, we went through the municipal entitlement process when we became a borough, and that went... That had several iterations. DNR had to approve lands to give up by state law. When you're a certain type of community or government, you are entitled to certain state lands and can request them, and they can approve them or not. And they go, it's a very long process. So that process was going on for quite a while. And we finally did after, I think it was before my time. I think we were in court for a while with it, and probably the DAI advisory board probably knows a little more about it than I do, but, it wasn't until very recently that we were actually conveyed this land. So for a long time, we've been managing the land, but we did not have the patent to it or the deed to it. So, and you know, it happened in different sort of chunks. One of them was West Creek, and that happened probably the latest. And then, you know, in speaking with the chair of the board today, I became aware that these sections that are not included are actually municipally owned. So there may be some areas that need to be addressed in an amendment or something. But so anyways, these plats are fairly new. They're from the last, you know, decade or so. And once we were conveyed the land, then it seemed more appropriate to be able to use those to sort of define areas. And I guess so I guess that's the maps, you know, back in 1977, I think, we did request land to be annexed to the municipality. I'm a little unclear about it, because then in, you know, it looked like maybe it wasn't going to happen, and then it did, and we passed an ordinance, but we didn't define what those lands were. And I think, you know, at that point, there was additional lands pulled into the, it wasn't a borough yet, it was just the city. And we're given sort of the new boundaries of the entire city, but we're not, it would take maybe some work to figure out what that actually was. So that was back in, I think those were platted in the 80s, the early 80s. So it's a little, you know, it's a little complex, and we've been trying to piece together everything to see what is actually legally documented, I guess. And so that's why these were used, because these are the official plats of the lands that we were conveyed by the state.
Thank you. The other thing, a couple more things I'd like to add. I think even as Dr. Weber mentioned, there is value and the code needs to be updated. I fully believe that it should go through the DAI Community Advisory Board. But I also think there's a lot of value that we're getting from this discussion at the table, especially when it comes to, due to recent legal precedent, kind of making that clear, making it clear in code that DAI is not covered under Title 19. And as the mayor mentioned, taxpayers have recently spent a lot of money to make that clear. So I think there's a lot of value that has come from this discussion that the DAI Community Advisory Board can take back with them and incorporate into their talks. One thing I specifically want to mention, because it's going to be on the July 18th Parks and Rec agenda, is under 1614 030 subsection A16, discussion of the A-frame rental house, which really is not in any kind of state to rent. So there are some things that do need to be updated in this code, and I'm hoping that the DAI Community Advisory Board will take a look at this and consider everything that's been mentioned here tonight and incorporate that into their recommendations.
Clerk Burnham?
Your Honor, may I speak to Title 3 and the adoption of an ordinance?
Sure.
So as all of you understand the process of adopting an ordinance, what code requires in Title 3 is scheduling of a public hearing before adoption of an ordinance. And what the process for the Skagway Assembly has been for many, many years, as is regularly practiced, is first reading and second reading of an ordinance. But code actually only requires the public hearing an adoption. So what you see regularly is introduction and first reading of an ordinance. And the practice is intended as a way for the assembly members or mayor or a committee to put forward an ordinance and introduce it to the assembly. The passage of the first reading causes the public hearing to be properly scheduled and noticed before adoption of the ordinance. And that is how Title III is written, my interpretation for ordinances.
Thank you. Orion.
Thank you, Your Honor. I call the question.
We have a motion by Hansen, second by Waddell to call the question. Roll call.
Henry.
No.
Hansen.
No.
We're not voting on the ordinance. We're voting whether or not to call the question.
Waddell.
I did not understand that. I thought we were voting on the ordinance.
When you
I thought you had one round to go and no one volunteered to talk.
When you call the question, we immediately go to roll call to call the question. If it's yes, then we do the roll call.
That was not clear.
It's in Robert's Rules of Order, the book that you have.
Waddell. Potter.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Four yeses, motion passes.
Roll call on first reading of ordinance number 23-18.
Potter.
Yes.
Bass.
No.
Waddell.
No.
Henry.
No.
Burnham.
No.
Hansen.
No.
Five no's, motion fails.
Item F, public hearing and adoption of resolution number 23-26R, approving analysis audit of the police department as a working document and supporting its application to assist the municipality in making decisions for development of the Skagway Police Department.
Move for adoption of resolution 23-26R.
Second.
Motion by Henry, second by Hansen. To adopt resolution number 23-26R. Would anyone from the public like to speak to the important issue of the police audit and the assembly accepting that audit? Chief?
I thought. I just want to thank the assembly and public safety, the manager, the mayor for the support. Moving forward, I think this is a good working document. We can definitely see some good in it. Maybe not everything, but I think we can work together and come to a good resolution.
Thank you, Chief. Anyone else? Discussion. Dan?
It evades me right now, but I think it cost us $55,000 for this.
Sure, let's say $55,000.
Okay.
Do you think that's money well spent?
I think if you would have gave me $40,000, I would have told you that it's a great idea in a small community, in any community, but especially in a small community, for the police department to interact maybe on a monthly, semi-monthly basis. And then secondly, I've known for over 15 years, we need at least one additional, if not two additional officers. So we would have saved $15,000 because I could have told you that in, 90 seconds. How long did it take me?
Sam?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know Mr. Henry has mentioned, the concerns on some of the validity or the value of having this audit done. And I also absolutely believe what the chief of police tells me. However, I just don't take that as gospel. If he came to me and says, I need $1 million worth of new communications equipment, I trust him, but I'm going to verify that. I want to go to an outside agency. I want to make sure that some other professional folks who have a bigger picture and understanding of how a police department works than I do tells me this is the correct road that you need to go down. These are the pieces of equipment you need. This is the manning you need. And I think that's exactly what this audit has given us. And that's why I very much hope we pass this. This becomes our driving document for the next decade, hopefully, so we can get our police department in that place where it should be. It worked outstanding, I think, with our fire department. We're still operating under that document. We're still trying to reach all the objectives that were outlined in that document, and we're getting there. I think the police department, this is a great tool to give the chief and his staff on how to work and move forward and to really bring the department to where it needs to be to service a town that has the uniqueness of Skagway, where you go from 1,000 people in the winter to 20,000 people in the summer. How do you do that? That's a hard thing to do, especially when you're trying to maintain a proper and financially viable police department and fire department. So I'm excited that we have this document. We waited a long time to get it. I think it was worthwhile, and I hope we adopt it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Roll call. Oh, Deb, did you have something? Roll call.
Burnham.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Unfinished business, item A, approval of solid waste transfer station construction administration proposal. Orion.
Thank you, Your Honor. I move we approve the RESPECT proposal for the solid waste transfer facility construction administration and construction management services in the amount of $773,988.
Second.
Motion by Hanson, second by Henry, to approve the construction administration proposal for $773,988. Discussion. Orion.
Thank you, Your Honor. This was postponed after the bid was contested. That has now, I believe, been awarded, and I think it's about to be signed. If it hasn't been signed, I'm seeing an affirmation from Deputy Manager Deitch. This is the process we've been going through to make sure we get what we asked for. So in years past, we had capital projects. Somebody from the municipality would come out and look at it. But really, when you get into big capital projects, and this is standard across the whole country, you have a third-party inspector who comes through, reviews the work, is on site, has a schedule, make sure that things are being followed out in task. It's not cheap, but this is a very expensive building for a very intense reason, in that we need to deal with our solid waste. We have a plan C in place. This plan B is pretty imperative, because someday the incinerator will burn a hole through the side of it that cannot be patched, and that day is coming. And this will, I think, this expense of, you know, $750,000 seems like a lot, and I agree that it is, but this is, you know, we're looking at a pretty intense reason to deal with our trash as we have it, and this will all be CPV money.
Anybody else? Roll call.
Potter.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
New business, item A, approving receipt of fiscal year 24 designated legislative grant for oxide mitigation. Jay.
Thank you, Your Honor. I move we direct staff to provide the grant administrator with the scope of work for this project and completed signatory authority form.
Second.
Motion by Burnham, second by Waddell, to comply with the grant for the rock slide mitigation. Discussion. Roll call.
Waddell.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item B, approval of port berthing agreement with Alaskan Dream Cruises.
I move for the approval of the port berthing agreement with Alaskan Dream Cruises.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Waddell, to approve the port berthing agreement with Alaskan Dream Cruises. Discussion. Deb?
I think these guys are a great company. They're American owned. Their ships are 12 to 76 passengers. They were one of the few that were able to provide a little bit of economic stimulation around Alaska and other ports in 2021. And I fully support this.
Anyone else? Orion?
Can I ask where they dock?
Where do they dock? Port Manager Jennings, would you come up and get on the microphone there so we have it on the record? In the harbor. I'm guessing Broadway. My guess.
So Alaska Dream Cruises docks at the ferry float.
Thank you, Port Manager Jennings. Any further discussion or questions for Port Manager Jennings? Oh, never mind. Roll call.
Henry.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Mayor and Assembly discussion items. We do have an item on here that I added, discussion of Assembly requests for public information. I promised to reach out to representatives from AML, talk to a bunch of different people, and it's in the memo that I'm sure you all read. So if you want to discuss it, we can. Otherwise, you know, it's totally, like I say at the end of this thing, it's totally up to you guys how you want to handle this. I'm just trying to inform you as to, you know, the information that was shared with me and how other municipalities handle it. Well, great. That's a good discussion. Jay, you want to start us off?
Thanks, Your Honor. As far as discussing that, I see the need to be able to ask for information and get it. I understand that to have an unusual request, an unusual request to me would be, say, I want to know what you bought on Thursday on your credit card from the municipality. That would be unusual to me. Unusual to me wouldn't be, okay, we have something coming up pertaining to the dock, and I want to know how long the dock is, and I want to have a picture of it, and I want to have this kind of stuff. That seems pretty usual. What I'm wondering about is when we have a complex issue, let's say Garden City, and there's all kinds of angles. And when it gets presented to where here's the resolution, we're going to take care of it, it's one page, and someone asks for more information on it, then it turns into someone else deciding whether or not that more information is unusual or too much, or it's cumbersome, or however you want to phrase it. That's where I had issues with the request. I mean, some of the stuff that I personally had asked for wasn't that big of a request, but I also concede that if I asked for four or five things at the same time, it might only taken 5 minutes to do two of those things, but it would have taken 2 weeks to do some of the other things. So then all of them would get shot down at the same time because they were in one request. And then my last concern about the public records requests, and this is when we get the packet, I'm not one of the ones who pick what goes into the packet. I can add things to the packet, but I'm not the one who just sets the standard of what's going in there. So if there was somebody that wanted to move their own agenda or move forward with something, and they had an ability to set what goes into our packet, and we don't know anything else other than what's in our packet because we haven't gone forward with it. Of course, we should just stop right there at that meeting and say, we should postpone this and I want more information and we should go forward. And what do you guys all think about getting this and this and this? And then that would be a group consensus. So that's where I'm kind of at. It just seems like some of the asks that I've had deferred to a public records request seemed very small and minor and could have been taken care of. but it might almost been like I got the runaround. They're like, well, you're not being specific exactly how many emails you want to see or how far you want to go back in the length of time. So that's where I'm at with the public records request. I just think that we should be able to ask for some things. And like I said, unusual, yes, that shouldn't be right. Or have a specific, as you suggested, a specific way of how we do it. And what if it's under 30 minutes, which who's going to judge that? It would take me 4 hours to find something in code that Emily would have in 4 seconds. So it's like, it's whoever's looking for something.
It's the clerk. So to be clear, the clerk works for you guys. That's, you know, what's part of the memo. So if you guys determine that, you know, I just arbitrarily picked 30 minutes as a way to form a discussion, clerk's going to be very good at finding things like Emily,
right?
And his department. So, you know, what I found out is, you know, a lot of, like, Juno has two clerks as well, very similar. But, you know, these would be highly unusual if something takes a long period of time because they work for this body and not for an individual. Then the idea is that, you know, then you do need a policy of some kind. You could arbitrarily put any number there. It could be an hour. It could be 2 hours. That's totally up to you guys. I think, you know, A, it's being, you know, respectful of the clerk's opinion about how much time something's going to take, acknowledging the fact that the attorney may not want information released that is old for all kinds of different reasons. So then that would warrant an executive session, which, you know, two assembly members, all you have to do is request one, right? So there's a bunch of different ways to obtain information. I don't think anybody's trying to be punitive. I don't think the clerk's office is trying to be selective or give anybody the runaround. I just think, you know, these are unusual requests because they are lengthy and time consuming. So policy is a good idea. Like I say, I mean, you know, perhaps it warrants a work session so that the assembly can work with the clerk directly in a conversational type format and try to determine a policy that is respectful of their time and is also going to give high marks on their performance review when that comes around. So a lot of checks and balances here, but it was interesting, you know, in the conversations I had, it seems like voluminous requests are unusual. So I understand that there's a lot of history with the Garden City issue. There's a lot of things that happened in executive session years ago that maybe we're not privy to. There are things I'm not told even in my conversations with the attorney on this issue. So perhaps it's a one-off. I don't know. But that was the intent here, was just to tell you what everybody else says. Orion?
Thank you, Your Honor. One of our duties as assembly people is to find information. I remember in 2015, as chairman of planning and zoning, the municipality sent me to Anchorage to newly elected training. And I was in a conference. I think every person in there was a planner who was a municipal employee or some municipality within Alaska. And they asked me, I was talking casually, and I said, well, how many planners do you have? And I had said none. And those planners support city council. They support different programs and efforts by staff in their municipalities. We don't have that. We now have two clerks, which is a great aid to the assembly as we try to gain information. We try to keep it within the structure of the chain of command, but you know, sometimes you just ask a question or someone comes to you and provides information and you try to find out what's accurate, what's true. Because otherwise we're just rubber stamping things here. And that's not what we're elected to do. We're elected to be intelligent, to try to analyze what's going on. And so really, I greatly value staff's time. But you also have to understand, every time I walk through these halls, except for twice a month, it's my time. And that's volunteer time. Every time I walk in here in the middle of the day or I'm reading things on my iPad, I'm not paid for that. And so, yes, we need information. And you have something as complex and longstanding and culturally difficult to talk about as Garden City and all the different angles on that. I understand that's a big request. And it goes back 100 years. that's not an easy thing to pull up, and to expect that the clerk can pull that up, you know, no, it's not going to be quick. But, you know, on the flip side, I came to the, you know, deputy manager and I said, what's going on with all our grants out there? And she said, okay, let me get that together. It was a short conversation. I was in her office 10 minutes, maybe. And, you know, that to me, should that be a public records request that I ask for a summary of what's going on with all our grants as, you know, the vice mayor, someone who serves on finance? I don't think so. I mean, that's, I'm trying to do my job, you know, on a Monday afternoon. So there's a balance here. You know, you got staff's time, that I agree. And if, you know, if it's capricious and you're asking for something that's, you know, unwieldy, well then, yeah, I mean, that needs to be, you know, recognized that it's capricious and unwieldy, but for us to do our jobs, we need information and we need help, because for us to get it on our own, A, it may not be accurate. We don't have access to it. And B, you know, every one of us are busy in our own lives, in our own ways, in our own businesses. So, you know, I remember that conversation with all those planners from Fairbanks really well. There was like 25 of them, and we have zero in Skagway. So that's part of the process here too, is that the assembly needs to be able to get information so that we can make informed decisions.
My suggestion would be, if you guys want to create a policy on this, I mean, I don't know. I've been doing this job for, I guess, getting on 5 years, and I haven't had a request that wasn't immediately or within a day or two fulfilled. Nobody's ever asked to do a public records request. Dan, in 24 years, ever happen? So if the clerk tells me or tells this body, this is a request that seems cumbersome, or whatever word you want to use, then I'm going to listen to that. And I think it's a decision that the governing body needs to make as a whole. That would be my only input on it. But yeah, if you guys want to do a work session, say the word. You can develop a policy on it. Sounds like a fun way to spend a Monday afternoon. Alex?
Thank you, Runner. I'd just like to share an experience I had recently. I put in a public records request, which took about 7 weeks to fulfill. I know our clerks are very hardworking, and I appreciate and respect the work that they do. And they did get it filled. The identical request was made by a different assembly member, and their request was made without a public records request. And they got their documents in 2 days. So while I know that there was no maliciousness here, there was no, you know, I'm sure they weren't trying to just box me out or something like that. There was a big difference in the amount of time it took for one assembly member to get documents versus another. And that is unacceptable to me. That experience put a very bad taste in my mouth, and shouldn't have happened. And it doesn't, at the end of the day, again, I don't think it fault or any, or blame or, you know, ill intent are really concepts that apply here necessarily. But the fact that it happens means that maybe policy is in order, or I mean, just a discussion of it. I think I applaud you on the work that you've done reaching out to these different places. I'd be interested to hear more about what they told you and what their procedures are. If maybe I'll ask for a private conversation with you later about that. But perhaps a document that can be requested to bring things to the table could be useful. I don't know that I would want it to be the only thing, though, because again, sometimes when creating code, there are unintended consequences. We recently adjusted code for correspondence, public correspondence. And I've heard people argue that they thought it was worse than before it was adjusted. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just saying unintended consequences exist. And by putting a policy in place, we could be making things worse for ourselves accidentally. So it's, you know, it's something that needs to be addressed. Like Assembly Vice Mayor Hansen said, we are asked to make complex and intelligent decisions, do our analysis on our own time, on very serious issues affecting the entire community. And we need resources in order to do that effectively and accurately. And the city has resources. They have resources in the form of our management, our MOS staff, our clerks,
our port directors. I mean, we have a great team of people who do great work, and we need access to them from time to time in order to work together for our community.
I just want to clarify, the code's very clear. People we talk to are the clerk's office and the manager. We do not go to individual members of staff. That is a violation of code, just to be clear.
Sure. And in the circumstance I just described, both of those were the parties, not an individual member of staff.
Just
so
wasn't accusing you, just to
no, inform. And I wasn't being defensive, just clarifying.
Dan?
Boy, the staff does the greatest job ever. Yet I asked for something and didn't get it. You guys are fantastic. 7 weeks versus 2 days. I don't know that I've ever heard such a passive aggressive comment in all my life.
Let's move on. Jay, you want to get us started here?
Is this just for the regular discussion closing?
It could be whatever you want it to be, Jay. The world is your oyster.
Thank you, Your Honor. Were we going to need, well, I guess we voted down that ordinance. Would we want to ask to see if the DAI Community Advisory Board would like to take a look at that and send us back something? Or
yeah, perhaps at the next scheduled meeting, if you would notify me or have the chair notify me directly, then I'll make sure that the attorney is present so that he can discuss his process and go into more detail. I don't understand the attorney's process, so I can't answer those questions. But can do that. That might be a healthy way to approach it, that he can explain from a legal standpoint what can and can't be done. And then, you know, perhaps if the flavor of the assembly is to draw lines and to have that done, maybe there's a legal way to do it. But then if you want to have codified the voice of the DAI Advisory Board, be the DAI West Creek Naku Bay Advisory Board or anything they want to talk about advisory board, that could be codified or not. It's up to you guys. But if you let me know, I can have the attorney at the next meeting.
Okay, I think the DAI Advisory Board meets next week. And so...
Good memory.
yeah, I'm supposed to be there. Yes, I believe it's Wednesday. I can talk with him about that. As far as anything else, I can't think of anything right now. Bottom of my list, I see in my notes a pool.
I've heard that before. Alex?
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to comment on the amount of DAI residents in this room tonight. Not often do you see this many DAI people in town in the same place. It's like 8 of us. All right. Thank you guys for coming out and your hard work. I think part of the democratic process is speaking at citizens present, voicing your opinions on things that are on the agenda. It helps inform the assembly. And I know that you're all recluses. So thank you for leaving your houses and speaking in public. It's not always easy to go sit in that chair. Mina, I doubt anyone would ever call you a little village girl. But thank you for coming and speaking. Other than that, nothing more at this time. Thank you.
Deb?
Thank you, Your Honor. Since correspondence just came up, that reminds me, I've noticed that there is the new email address that folks can send their correspondence, and I believe that is correspondence@skagway.org. Is that correct? So that's the new process. I do know there's some distrust out there amongst the community, but it's summer. It's not the time of year where we get a lot of correspondence. So I'd be more suspicious if we're up here when we're up here in December and there's still no correspondence then. But that's a new process. You can email your correspondence to correspondence@skagway.org. I want to kind of quickly explain my vote regarding ordinance. The first reading of Ordinance 2318. My intent on voting yes is that it would just pass first reading and then be addressed by the DAE Community Advisory Board. I don't think anybody is in a lot of doubt that there needs to be some updated code changes. So look forward to that happening. I want to talk about, I believe it was Jessica that brought up the continued request for a public safety building out in DAE. And I promise you it's not being ignored. We've discussed it quite a few times now at the Public Safety Committee. And it's something that's been one of my most frustrating experiences up here, though your voice really is heard. Things still move at the speed of government, especially when the federal government is also involved out there. So I promise you, it's not being ignored. It's just, like a lot of things, moving at the speed of government. And as Assemblymember Henry would probably interject in this moment, as he mentioned earlier, all things require money. But it is being addressed and it is being taken seriously. I also want to speak to our youth. Going to committees is not a waste of time, whether it's the DAE Advisory Board or Civic Affairs or Finance or anything, because your voice does matter. And it might seem like it once it began, because change takes time, unfortunately. But any way that you participate in your local government is never a waste of time. So thank you for being here. And my last question for the table is, how are we doing regarding scheduling an assembly of the whole meeting regarding Garden City RV Park? Where are we at on that?
Alex?
Thank you, Your Honor. May I address Deb directly?
Sure. Yeah.
I've reached out to the STC. They've agreed to the idea of a meeting of the whole, and I've emailed them a proposed agenda that I'd like them to sign off on, so to speak. I'd like the meeting to be, you know, peaceable and amenable to all parties. So I was hoping that they would sign off on the agenda. They apparently have done so via email, but are meeting next week and would like to maybe discuss it further in person. So once that happens, they'll get back to me and we'll propose some dates.
Great. Thank you. That's all I have, Your Honor.
Orion.
Thank you, Your Honor. Great softball tournament Skagway hosted last weekend, the International Softball Tournament, 4th of July. Big thanks to the Parks and Rec staff led by Luke Stemmer. Also to our contractors cleaning the bathroom, Joe Hosford and his wife. The bathrooms were clean all weekend. There were 12 teams, 8 from Canada, 2 from Skagway, 1 from Juneau, 1 from Whitehorse. The competition was excellent. And AMAC towing our Skagway team lost 8-7 in the 7th inning of the championship game. The ORDOC bid is a very large issue. It came in way, way higher than what we had budgeted for, what our engineers had budgeted for. And Manager Ryan, I met with him Monday afternoon. The bid opening was in this room Monday at 2:00. There was only one bidder. And there's very few bidders out there who can qualify for that kind of project on the West Coast. And I think the reason that it came in so high that I'm understanding is, A, the timeline is difficult, and B, the workforce to do something that fast is difficult to obtain as well. So Manager Ryan immediately made plans to go down to Seattle to meet with them. And that's where he is now. And he redirected immediately, because this is the biggest capital project in 50 years. He's trying very diligently, I think, to find a solution that it may be broken up into two different winners, but we have to look forward, and he's very much pursuing that, as well as Director Jennings. 4th of July was awesome. I had a great time emceeing the parade with Mike Swayze, and we really fed off the crowd. I think the crowd was having fun. We were having fun. The pie eating contest, or I mean, the dessert auction for the Emblem Club was, we just had a ball doing it. And everyone who volunteered, everyone who participated, was great. For the first time in my tenure, I am the fastest spike driver on the assembly.
Point of order.
It only took me like 11 or 12 years to get there, but you know, Jay usually smokes me. So there's, the last thing I want to say is something that you start to see happen every year. And I drove to Whitehorse for work yesterday to go buy, materials on a commercial trip. And, somewhere past Summit Creek, you know, I saw a bunch of cars on both sides of the road slow down, and there's guardrails on both sides. And there was a moose out in one of those glacial melt ponds, and a bus had stopped in the middle of the lane, put their flashers on, and people were jumping out with their cameras in a spot where there was nowhere to go, really. You know, and I passed the person, the bus driver, and I recognized the guy. He's been a tour driver for a while. About 30, 40 seconds later, there's a double-decker Petro, you know, truck coming the other way. And I don't bring this up to point out that one instance. I bring it up to point it out because you always see this. As the season progresses, people get in a hurry. They kind of get a little sloppy. And this is important for everyone. It's important for me as a contractor. It's important for all the vendors, all the tour bus drivers, that the way that this works, that's successful, is that we stay diligent, because with all the people we have coming, all the businesses we have going, you have to keep in your lane, or it doesn't work. Chaos can't happen when you have as many people coming through here every day as we have. There will be issues, accidents, whatever. But if all of us continue to embrace the vibrancy and the booming aspect of tourism that we have right now, it will continue to thrive, but it always happens. And I think all of us who have lived here for a while have seen it. It starts to get a little slack the further it goes on in the summer. Protocols are, yeah, okay, whatever. You got to stay the course. You got to stay in your lane. And last thing, great quote. I don't know if anybody picked it up. Trust but verify. I believe that was President Reagan.
Sam?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I address the deputy manager?
Yeah.
Thank you. Where are we at on the title search that we directed for Garden City? Is that in the works? Do we have a time when we would guess to get that back?
I do not know, but I will check and report back. Thank you. Once we order it, it should not take very long, I would think.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I know for myself, I'd like to have that title search back before we, you know, engage in a committee of the whole. I'd least like to have that information, because if that title search comes back and it says either the church couldn't sell that property, or we couldn't have bought that property, then that makes this decision up here real easy. Now, if they say it's a clear title, then we're kind of back to where we were. But I'd like to have that information in our hip pocket before we move forward. Hopefully that'll come along soon. I give all the luck to our manager and the effort to our manager down in Seattle right now, who's discussing our latest bid for the ore development project. This may be another point where we have to be flexible. I mean, we were flexible in the plan development. We changed the plan as we moved through, and we understood more about the hydrology and the geology of the area, and we understood more about what our primary customer wanted. They wanted more access to the birthing space there. We had to add an extra 150 feet onto the proposed dock. We've been flexible, and as we move through this process, I think we're going to have to maintain that flexibility. And if our manager comes back and says, and we had initially, it was a very aggressive timeline. We knew this was a ton of work to get done in over a winter. We were hoping that could be done, and we still do. We still hope that can be achieved. But if finances and prudent finances say that we have to adjust and be flexible and do this over a two-year period, then that may be what we have to do. I look forward to seeing what he comes back with. I've already heard there's some positivity there in this discussion. So I look forward to seeing what he brings back to this table, because it is just like the vice mayor said, this is the biggest capital project in 50 years. And this is also this is something that this community very much needs. We need to develop that waterfront and continue to have that, the financial gains that come from those cruise ships. So excited to see what he brings back. All the best luck to him. And also, I'd like to thank everybody from DAI to come out, who came out and spoke to us today. I know it has an impact on the decisions I make. When I hear people come out and talk about, especially the area they live and how it's going to affect them, it has an impact. So I appreciate you guys coming out. Thank you very much. That's all I have. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Sam. Dan?
Just a couple of things, again, in response to Jessica.
Turn on your mic.
Response to Jessica. We have, I know, on several occasions in the past, discussed some sort of infrastructural approach to having the ability to respond in a timely fashion out in DAI. And I think that you can also look at the added risk that is possibly out there. There's been additional homes built. There's more people, but the influx of visitors, there increases the chance of fire and different things like that. They impact the road. They, you know, there's a lot of things that happen because of that. There's good in some ways. They certainly come to town, buy groceries, do this, do that, you know, go out to bars, restaurants, and so forth. But what I'm getting at is that it would be an appropriate use to allocate revenue from sales tax to address that very need. So we're going to be looking at that again for those either at the table or within the community that thought for some reason on March 20th, 2023, a spigot was going to be turned on and money was going to pour out. I hope you've come to the realization that's not the reality, number one. Number two, and more importantly, we are about to incur tremendous debt to then actually build out that infrastructure to down the road having substantial revenue streams. But we also have an unforeseen need that is debt, dealing with the side of the White Pass dock slide area. So with these things, you know, right in our, right in the front of our view, I hope folks understand that I'm going to try and do a better job of designing a meeting schedule so that we can discuss all the pros and cons of increasing the sales tax in this community to its appropriate level, in my estimation, and be able to afford a lot of these things. One, if not two officers, different things like that, because we're going to be strained mightily through this budget cycle coming up. So I'm just going to say, I think the best approach for us to take on proposing a second vote by the community, a second ballot for an increase in sales tax in quarters two and three, is something we want to look at versus increases in mill rates, which is where you would identify immediately if we were going to build a firehouse on DAI, right? You'd go to that zone, that area, and increase the mill rate, pay for it. Okay. Well, again, I'm looking towards sales tax as addressing that, because I feel that's where the impact has originated, as is the case with 98% of our need structure from an infrastructural standpoint in this community. So the reason I'm bringing that up at the first meeting in July is my hope would be that would be implemented in our upcoming cycle, so that tour operators or whatever the umbrella is that folks want to get underneath, that we need to keep pushing it down because they've already sent their prices in. Or it's July of 2023. I think they've got the time to adjust if that's what they choose to do, or they can hold steadily at where they're at. Those are all choices you make as an individual business person, what your profit margin is. Okay. Do you have to absorb it by rolling it back when you sell a beer? Do you sell it for $8 even and roll the tax out? Or do you sell the beer for $8, multiply it by five, and it's $8.40? That's an individual business decision, as is advertising what your tour is, what your train ticket price is, what your helicopter ticket is, what your walking tour ticket is, whatever it may be. But the need for revenue stream to increase here is a definite in my eyes anyway. And we talk about pools all the time. Well, you need revenue. Wishing ain't going to make it happen. So you have wants, needs, and desires. Okay. They all take revenue streams. So I hope we can address that. And I promise to do a better job in the explanation, I guess, which wasn't done prior to the last ballot, as to how the math in our community works, you know, from an individual basis to a business basis. And maybe that's what was needed to happen. So look forward to it. That's all.
Jay, Your Honor, could I ask Dan if he wants that on the next finance agenda?
I'm sorry, what?
You want that on the next finance agenda?
I would love that on the next finance agenda, if that's possible.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Any objection to closing the meeting? Adjourning? Hearing none, meeting's adjourned.